Welcome to Faith in Corinth. This podcast is an extension of the Central Church located at 293 County Road 218 in Corinth, Mississippi. We hope and trust today's broadcast will bring you hope, encouragement, and insight from God's Word. And we ask you to like and share this podcast with those to whom you believe it will benefit. Again, thank you for joining us. Now, let's get into today's podcast.
Thank you, Pastor.
You're very welcome.
Mama, I don't know about intellectual. I don't know how spiritual. Pastor, you need to do something about him. You really need to do something with him. Brother and Sister Harmon, let me say first, start off with, my, what an amazing job you are doing at the Central Church. You really are. I've been here many times at some of your community events, and it's amazing. It's just amazing how you are reaching out. You are being a light to this community. Let me say, I do have a former student in my classroom, Brother Keaton, at school, but I also have Brother Kyle. But I'm going to tell off on Brother Keaton. I didn't even think about this. You know, he's always the good one, you know? Yeah. Well, I was over the prom. And after the prom, what's usually after the prom? The dance. And so they were picking out class songs and all this, and I always dreaded that. That was the worst. And so I would have them to submit some songs, you know, and I would be like, oh, God, I got to listen to these songs because I got to cull through them, got to make sure there's nothing in there that's going to be inappropriate because I'm representing, and if the principal were to call in, he would say, you Pentecostal teacher, you know. So I had all the students to go through and vote. So it comes Brother Keaton's time. And he's sitting over there, and he's listening. And he calls me, and you can tell, you can just look on the, I was just enjoying it. I was loving the moment, because he was sitting over there, and he was listening. A few minutes, I walked by, he said, Miss Allen, I don't want to do this. I don't listen to these songs. And I wanted to say, and neither do I. That's why you're listening to it. But that's amazing. That always stuck with me because, you know, he was a witness everywhere. And it didn't matter. He had his own standards. He didn't force them on anyone. But he lived for God, and he was a light. And you know what? One day, I went in looking for Keaton, and guess where he was? In the principal's office. But you know what he was doing in the principal's office? The principal loved to talk to Keaton because he would ask, what do y'all do in your church? What do y'all do? Well, what does your pastor do about this and that? And this man right here, he wasn't afraid to tell it, and he told the truth. And he was well respected. Brother Kyle and Sister Whitney, you thought you were going to get out. But oh no. I don't have, we used to have a guy in our church who said, I don't have a sad story to tell, and I don't. I am so godly proud of you too. Oh. Are y'all not just bursting with pride over them? Oh, godly pride. You see, Brother Kyle and I go way back, way back. I remember when he was born, and oh, I just thought he was the sweetest thing. And he wanted to be April's boyfriend, and so April would tell him, she really would say, well, you know, if you really like me, there's a pink coat that I need. I said, April, you can't do that. But I will say this. I've been a Sunday school teacher since I was 18 years old. 43 years. Okay, 43 years of teaching. But Brother Kyle, the best class I ever taught was that class y'all were in. We had it going on. It was nothing for the Holy Ghost to break out while we were teaching. And I could tell early on, you know, this teachers, we get to see that. That's such a joy. You could see that prayer warrior. We could see that. And you can see that. And teachers, we get the privilege to cultivate that and sow some more seeds into that. And so Kyle went on, and many people have watered, and boy, have we watered. But God has given the increase. Thank you, Jesus. And unless my son-in-law gets jealous and says, well, you didn't say anything about me. Let me tell you how Matt came to be in my family. We had a homecoming, or I think it was a homecoming. We were standing in line. God. Sometimes this little gift of prophecy can get you in trouble. And so I was standing there, and Matt was in line. He's early in the church. And I just looked over at him and I said, you're just the cutest little thing. I wish I had another daughter that you could marry. Because at that time, both of mine were dating someone else. God, that word of prophecy. Oh, I will never forget April crying and, Mama, I just don't know, God, if I go with this one, it's the easy way out. They've already got their calling in place. But if I go with this Matt, it's going to be hard. Baby, it's always hard. You got to go with the Lord here, so... But it's such a privilege to be here today and be in church with my grandchildren. At my church today, they are celebrating Grandparents' Day. And so I never got to celebrate Grandparents' Day with my grandchildren. And so Emma, I love you. And Jack, I love you. And I love the rest of them too, but I'm so glad to be here. But let's get into the Word of God, because I do feel that I have a word today. And I text someone this morning and I said, God's Word is anointed, but I want to be anointed when I speak it. Let's all, if you're listening today to me and you're struggling with your purpose, on the Sunday morning, I've come to remind you, and all of us, there is a purpose in the kingdom, and to challenge each of us to activate, or if you've been in the kingdom a long time, reactivate the mission. It's time to reactivate the mission. Matt, you did pretty good. Thank you. We're going to start out with our scripture text today, Matthew 28, 19. If you would all stand. And I got to get a drink. Matthew 28, 19. Here we see the parting words of Jesus. When somebody has parting words, and they're leaving, it's time to stand and take attention, because they're going to give you the most important message ever. And so in Matthew 28, you also see this in Mark as well. It says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Don't get afraid of that. That's not Trinitarian, because what's the name of the Father?
Jesus.
What's the name of the Son?
Jesus.
What's the name of the Holy Ghost?
Jesus.
That's right. Verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Acts 1 and 8. Flip on over. Here we have the writer of the book of Acts, and he's giving his version of that last message. Okay? And he says in Acts 1 and 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. These verses are commonly known as the Great Commission. Today, I want you all to lift your hands and pray with me. I want you to pray for the anointing of God to saturate me, to saturate you. Lord, we love you, Jesus. We come to you, O God. God, if you give it, I will speak it. God, help me, O God, to do what you would have me to do today, God. Let somebody reactivate the mission in their life today, God. God, in the name of Jesus, let somebody, God, hear this today, God. In Jesus' name, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You may be seated. That word, the Great Commission, I love words. I like to study words. I'm an English teacher. That's why. But the Great Commission, what does the commission mean? It's the great command. It's the great duty. So he's telling his disciples, here's your great command. This is your duty. Matthew 28:19. Let's look a little closer at that. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Let's look at that word teach. In Strong's Greek, the word teach, as used here, means to instruct, to make a disciple. Make a disciple. Helping someone to progressively learn the Word of God, to become a matured, growing disciple, to train or develop someone in the truths of the Scriptures and the lifestyle required. That covers it all. Teach them and in the lifestyle that is required. So what is our duty? What's our command? We are to teach others and disciple them, train them. Verse 20, teaching them. So what are we going to teach them? To observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Observe. Teaching them to keep, to guard the things that I have commanded you. You see, Jesus had spent all that time in those disciples in his teaching them, cultivating, putting word in them. But he's saying, now you go and you teach somebody else what I taught you, and you help it grow in them. And teach them not only about it, but teach them how to properly maintain and spiritually guard and keep intact what I have taught you. That's important. Keep it intact. Because as you tell somebody something, sometimes you've all played that little game where you would whisper something to someone here, and they keep going. And by the time it gets to the end, it's a different, totally different message. But no, that's not what Jesus is saying. He's saying, teach them the words that I've taught you. Teach them not only what I've taught you, but how to keep it intact. Guard it. Keep it. What are we observing? What are we guarding? What are we supposed to be preserving and keeping intact? Listen to this. I just said everything he commanded, but listen. And I just love this when God reveals something to me. All things whatsoever I have commanded you. And if you look that up in the Greek, that little word and there, also. Also. Pay attention. This is important. That word lo, it means I want you to pay close attention to this. So not only teach them what I've commanded you, but also teach them that I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Isn't that wonderful? Teach them I'm going to be with them. Wow. Not only is it word, but he's going to be right there with us. Let's look at Acts 1 and 8. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. Now, I have a friend. She tells me, Karen, you're so nerdy. But the little nerdy side of me kicked in when I read that and was studying this. And I said, Jesus, why did you put it in that order? I mean, you could have put it, did it rhyme, or just you had all your J's together, or what? No. He had a reason for listing it the way he did. Witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. Do you know what Jerusalem symbolized? Well, I'll tell you. It was their immediate location. The first place they were to witness and make disciples was in Jerusalem, in their hometown, in their home, in their place of worship. That's where it begins. Yeah. Judea. I just about, that's so good. It represented the surrounding area. But do you know what it really symbolized? It symbolized the heartland of Jewish identity, faith, and history. It was the region of the spiritual and the political center of Judaism. And when Jesus died on Calvary and he gave the Holy Ghost, he broke that system all the way up. No longer do we have a priest, a priest that we go to. But now, that veil is torn down. All that traditional religion is defeated. Now you got power to walk right into that place. Woo! My God. And then, I think we all know what Samaria means. It was the place of social division, a place of prejudice for the Jews. They hated them. Jesus turns it into a place of mercy. Acts 1 and 8 breaks the social barriers and makes Samaria a place of inclusion and grace. My, right there, I was telling Mom that, she said, well, right there makes it a multicultural church, doesn't it? Exactly, it does. Yes, the Holy Ghost is for all races and all people. It's for all social classes, No matter how poor you are, no matter if you're homeless, no matter if you don't smell good, I don't care if you're the doctor, the lawyer, and you live in a mansion. It's for you too. There are no barriers socially when it comes to Jesus. And the power of the Holy Ghost put all that asunder, and Calvary did it. Then he said, the uttermost parts of the earth. Witnessing of God's power is for all people, all nations, all cultures. Geography doesn't matter to God. I know in our church, Sister Brenda, Brother Marty, let me tell you something, those people right there got some big rewards waiting for them. I'm going to tell you, they've gone out to the highways and the hedges. We have some people that come into our church that they're not right there. It's not all together. But I'm going to tell you something. We have to pray. God, put them in the right mind. They need the Holy Ghost too. They do. And so they bring them in. Our purpose. I want you to hear me. Here is your purpose. If you have repented of your sins, you've been baptized in Jesus' name, and you have been filled with the Holy Ghost, your purpose is to make a disciple. So where do I go, Sister Karen? How do I begin? Well, I'm glad you asked. We begin at Jerusalem. So let me take you there today. Our home, our family, our place of worship. I told you that earlier. But this morning, I want to focus on disciple making in the church. This is Sunday School Promotion Sunday. Sunday school is one of the most valuable tools the church has ever had to make disciples. God uses disciples of all ages, from toddlers to the oldest person in the church. Anyone can be a disciple of Jesus. You want to get parents? Start talking about the children in a good way. Get them to come and see their child sing in the children's choir. That's how you win them. That's how you get them. Every child is important. In the secular world, parents want the best education for their children. You want them to be successful in life. So, mamas, we cry, and we pack them off and send them to pre-K. Send them to the little nursery school. And there they learn their letters, their numbers. And not only that, they learn how to have social skills. And they learn how to be a good citizen. Preschool is important. Yeah, it is. But you know what? The same is true in the house of God. In the early days of Sunday school classes, how many, all of you that taught those little ones, I want you to stand right now. If you taught the little kids, yeah, my hat is off to you. That's patience right there. Those Sunday school teachers, they plant Bible verses and Bible stories and songs in those babies and those preschoolers on their level so that they can begin to learn to love Jesus and prepare their little hearts for salvation and help them to become a citizen of the kingdom of God. Preparing their little hearts for the Holy Ghost. You don't think a three-year-old can't get the Holy Ghost? Well, don't tell my cousin that, because she was sitting in the lap of her mother and the Lord filled her with the Holy Ghost and she was speaking in tongues at 3 years old. Your job in that pre-K class is important. I remember one time we came here. You see, children, they make awesome disciples. Because you know what? They haven't learned intimidation yet. They don't know that. Oh, you better be careful what you say right there in front of him. It don't matter to them. They just open their mouth and say it. So we were here 1/4 of July, and we invited my husband's brother, and all the whole family showed up. And we had some people from our neighborhood that came. And so my brother-in-law came up to me and said, "You know what Caden just told me?" I said, "Why?" He said, "He just told me," and Caden is my other grandson. He said, "If you go right in there, you'll get the Holy Ghost." Yeah, told him where he could get it. Yeah. But you know what? This is not pinning any roses on me, but I'm going to share my personal story. I won my first soul to God when I was 3 years old. You know how I did it? I wasn't intimidated. I wasn't afraid. I thought everybody loved Jesus. I thought they did. I thought everybody prayed. And so, Dad's first cousin comes down from up north. And he's got his woman with him. And, you know, it's not a good situation here. He's got kids. She's got kids. They live in the life. Mom said, "No." They introduced us, you know, and she's, and this lady is sitting there from up north. She knows nothing about holiness at all. And I walked up to her and I said, "Will you pray for my daddy? You see, my daddy had MS and was crippled." I thought everybody prayed. She told me, I don't know how many times over her life, she said, "Conviction hit me." And she said, I said, "She wants me to pray for her daddy? I'm an old sinner woman. I'm living with this man." She said, "Conviction fell on her." And y'all, years, I don't know how long it was after that, but she got in church and she died praising God and living for God and lived the life. I didn't know. But you see, sometimes that's how the door is open. Mm-hmm. Yeah. As we grow in Christ, I've talked to you about the toddlers, but I want to talk about some other things. As we grow in Christ, the teaching in the church is still important. You see, in the secular world, education equips us to function as productive members of society. Or it's supposed to. Even if we have deficiencies in reading or writing or math, the educational system, their purpose, I didn't say they did it, but I said their purpose is to equip that child with tools to help them function in spite of their deficiencies. But I want to show you what the Lord showed me. The same is true in the church. All of us have deficiencies somewhere. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 12, 8 through 10, I'm going to read this in the NIV. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. He's talking about his thorn in the flesh. His weakness. But he said to me, who said to him? The Lord told Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties, for when I am weak, I am strong. I don't know how to make a disciple. I'm shy. Let the Lord help you with that weakness. He will make you strong. The teaching of the word equips us to function as productive members of God's kingdom, even with our deficiencies. Wow. You know what I saw? I went to a conference a couple weeks ago. Do you know they have now a Bible for dyslexia people? They do. It's out there. And it's a good one. So there's no excuse. They have audio Bible. In one of my groups, and I'll talk more about them later if the Lord leads, I had a teacher friend. She said, she brought her Bible to the Bible study and she laid it down. She said, and I just listened. Let them have their little conversation. And she said, oh, I never read. She said, I just carry it to church and pretend that I'm reading. You know why she said that? Because she has a reading problem. Have you ever thought about that, Pastor? All the people in your church that can't read? Wow. So how are they going to get the word? It's got to be taught. It's got to be preached. You got to have some tools. You got to put the tools in their hands, people. Uh-huh. Because they got to have word. And later on, while I was teaching, I leaned over and I put my hand on her and I called her by name and I said, honey, you got to have the word. You see, she wasn't being comical about that. You see, the people that come to my house for Bible study are hungry. And she was hungry. But she couldn't read good. Yeah, she's a teacher. Well, how did she become a teacher? I don't know, but it happens. That may be the reason why she's moved around all the time. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Just one of those things. The teaching of the word equips us. But how's it going to equip us if we are not students of the word? When we are not in church, 2 Timothy 2 and 15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God, of truth, his word, and through the power of the Holy Ghost, it will equip you to become strong. It will cover those weaknesses. When you don't understand what the word is saying, find somebody in the church. And if they don't know, go find somebody else. Find out what that word is saying. What does it mean? How does it apply to your life? Teachers, I want to share with you something. It's so strange how God works. You see, a couple months before y'all call me, I was studying in the book of James. James chapter 3. Let's all go there. In the opening verses, James cautions his teachers there. He says, not many of you ought to be teaching. And that's the truth. Pastor, don't ask people to teach that can't teach. Y'all won't ask me to come back. Yeah. But y'all, what he's talking about there is because you're not living it. If you look deeper than that, he says you got to live what you're teaching. And he says on there, going deeper into that, that you're held to a higher standard. Sunday school teachers, let me tell you something. You are important. Sister Susan, I watched it this morning. It's wearing. It's tiresome. But honey, you got a big responsibility. You're held to a higher standard. So you have to keep that burden. You got to keep it alive. And y'all, he continued. And y'all, I've always just thought this scripture was just about the tongue. But when I got to looking at it, oh my word, listen to this. This is so good. James chapter 3, 4 through 6. Let's look at verse 4. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants them to go. Teachers, let me challenge you today. I want you to think of your, right now, God help us. When I say think about your classes, you can automatically name that one, and you would never name your child after that kid. You wouldn't. I'm serious. A name that you used to love, oh, I would never. Why you want to name the child that for? Because that brings up memories of that child in that teacher. And y'all, I've seen some doozies, and they're not here today, okay? But listen, think of your Sunday school class or your Wednesday night class. Those students are ships. Some of them are so unmanageable. They have so many problems. Their problems are so large. And they are driven by strong winds. In all aspects of their life, they don't know from one night to the next if they will even have food. I had some nieces. You know where their clothes was? In the black garbage bag. Because they could pick it up at a moment's notice and go. That was their bedroom, a black garbage bag. But once or twice a week, they come to your class. They come to your Sunday school class, and they sit down. And that's why it's important, people. I love you serving breakfast. I love that. Because some of those kids hadn't had anything since Friday when they left school. And that's the truth. But you are that small rudder that can steer the course that Jesus wants that child to take. Do I have anybody in here, you've ever read the book, The Girl That Nobody Loved? Anybody? Get it. The Girl That Nobody Loved. That's why we teach, every time we teach, with a burden. That's why we study, we pray, we fast. We are prepared. Prepare for that. Prepare your classroom. Your classroom should be inviting. Even as a high school teacher, I tried my best for my classroom to be the most inviting, peaceful, calm place that students could come. And in that first period class, you would come in, and I'd try to have low, real low, some gospel music playing. Something they might like. Because they're coming from no telling what they have faced and heard all night long. And I know April can tell y'all some stories, too, about those little kindergarten babies. Teachers, it matters what is on your walls. It matters how your classroom looks. We're not in a Sunday school seminar, Sister Karen. Why are you talking about that? Well, I'm going to tell you. That poster or that picture you hang on your wall, it may be the only thing that is imprinted on a child's mind on Friday night when they are who knows where and their parents are doing who knows what, and all they can remember is that picture on your wall. It's important. Everything you do in your classroom is important. You need to pray that God will remind that child of something you said or of some visual aid that you put in your room every week. Call their names. Call their names in prayer. Verse 5 of James chapter 3. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boast. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. Teachers, we should never be boastful. We're not supposed to be arrogant. We're not supposed to be self-promoting. But y'all, let's think about the antithesis of that for just a moment. You're the small little rudder, and the words that you say could set a forest on fire. Who's going to be the next preacher come out of your class? Who's going to be the next missionary because you set a fire down in their little heart? You set a spark and it didn't go out. And they got it from your class. You see, I got down in the dumps here a while back and I was like, God, I'm not winning anybody and I'm not, you know, that little pity party, you know. And all of a sudden, the Lord said, look in the sound booth. And I looked, there's Brother Jordan. Preaching the word of God. He was in my class. Brother Kerry Miller. He was visiting us that night. Preaching the word of God. He was in your class. Brother Kyle. He was in my class. Preaching the word of God. Brother Keaton. You see, the Lord began to remind me of the little seeds that I sowed. And somebody else watered. But they grew. Adults, let me talk to you tonight, this evening. I don't care if you're a single, if you are a youth, hyphen, I don't care what you are. Whoever you are in this congregation, I want to challenge you. In the education world, we reach levels of learning. Whether it's in high school or college or grad school, we meet requirements and we graduate. And one of the things they say at the graduation is, upon meeting the requirements and the standards of the state of Mississippi, blah, 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 okay? And then you graduate. And then you're supposed to go to work and pay for that education and use it for God. Y'all, Bible teaching is just as valuable as it's always been, but we never graduate from God's educational system. We don't ever graduate. Oh, we go to different levels. And as you grow older, your love for the Word of God and the teachings of the Word should grow stronger. You should be able to take strong meat. Your pastor should not have to stand up here and teach the word of God being afraid of, oh, Lord, so-and-so can't take this, and how's this going to come back to me? Shouldn't feel that way. Because as you get older, you got to get stronger. You got to get stronger in the word. Your relationship has got to go deeper in God. Your influence outside of this church has got to be deeper. Your disciple making has got to happen. It's a command. Yeah. You wouldn't think of breaking the Ten Commandments, would you? Mm-hmm. One of the tactics of the enemy is to destroy the value of God's word being taught in people's lives. Now, I'm on the praise team. I can sing and shout with Vesta, okay? I believe in power and demonstration, but y'all, there comes a time when we've got to sit down in a Sunday school class or a Wednesday night Bible study, and we got to listen to pastor, we got to listen to a teacher, and we've got to know that word of God and what God is teaching us. Teaching the word will equip you to go out from here and face your world. Face those people on your job, your coworkers, your classmates, young people, your neighbors. You know, we're all so busy lifing. That's one of the new phrases. We lifing. We are all busy lifing, making a living. And when we sit down in Sunday school, now, y'all, maybe it's me, but I don't think so, because I looked over a lot of times and I've seen a lot of people. Some people can sleep so dignified. Yeah. One time I called on the pastor's wife in the ladies' class to say something. She was asleep. She didn't know what I said. I was so embarrassed that I called on her because she had not at all. But we get so sleepy on that Wednesday night Bible study or in that Sunday school class because we're so weary. Why? Because that's when Satan wants to pull all that in. You've gotten still now. But you know what? This is what I do. Become an active listener. That's one of the things they teach you in education. Those children have got to become active listeners. They can't sit there. They got too many video games and things that's distracting them. And so they've got to be an active listener. Get you a notebook and let that be what you bring to church and with your Bible. And when you're studying, write that stuff down. If you can't write, record it. There's too many tools out there nowadays for you. There's no excuses. None. Recently, one of your young people took notes when your pastor was teaching on holiness. When questions about why she dressed the way she did, she had her notes at her school and pulled them out and taught from her notes from what pastor taught. As a result, two of those girls came to the altar on the next youth service. One of them was filled to the brim with the Holy Ghost. That's how you do it. We can all learn from that. We would all, when I questioned, she said, now if this offends you, I'll stop. But you know what? They wanted to hear it. They want to know. Yeah. Y'all, don't cow down when people come to you with questions. Be prepared to give an answer. How are you going to be prepared to give an answer? Well, one thing, you got to learn the word. You've got to get into the word. You've got to study the word. And if you don't know, like I said, go to the pastor and bug him to death till he tells you the answer. I've had people to come to me and ask me before, why is it everybody thinks that teachers know everything? We don't. Okay, we don't. Come to me and ask me, what does this, was the word of God mean when it said? I said, I don't know, but I'll get back with you. I'll go study that, go find out, and I'll come back to you, and I'll tell you. There's nothing wrong with that. Not a thing. Wherever we go, we are commanded to teach and to witness. Let's look at Acts 3. Brother Nicholas Robbins, preached at our church last Sunday for our Jubilee Sunday, and he used this. And I'm going to borrow from him. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." Verse 5, and he gave heed unto them, the lame man did, expecting to receive something of them. And boy, did he ever receive something. He was expecting to receive coins. But what he received, oh, he got to jump up and walk. He could go make a living now. Yeah. All of us encounter people who need to receive something from us. What are people you encounter receiving from you? We must be ready to give spiritual nourishment to people who need it right then and there. Because some people can't wait to come to your church. They can't wait till next Sunday. If they ask you something tomorrow and they're in a big they have a big need, they need it met right then, and you better be prepared, because you got to give them something. You got to provide some nourishment. Last Sunday he said, some of the people you encounter and witness to may never come inside those church doors. And that's the truth. I have prayed with students, talked to them, shed tears. My room was known as the place when you got in trouble, when you brought a gun in your truck, you forgot to take it out. And they did a search at school, and my room was known for the girls that had things in their purse that wasn't supposed to be there, and they did a search, and they're going to go to jail. But they fall. They come over behind my desk. How many prayer meetings have I had with some girl because she messed up? And she couldn't wait. I had to give her something right then. I had a little girl in my room. She was a lesbian. She came to the prom in a tuxedo. But I just loved her. I just loved her. Because I knew her story. I knew the heart behind the lesbianism. And so I'd pray for her. I never condemned her, but I'd say, I prayed for you this morning. Thank you, Miss Allen. One morning, she came running in my room before everybody got there, and she fell down right there. And she said, "Miss Allen, I was in the shower," and she said, "Tears just went to flowing, and I asked God to forgive me." She is now out of that lifestyle of lesbianism. She's never come to my church, but she's in a church living for God. I thank God for that. That's not to penny roses on me, and I'm not being boastful this morning, but I'm trying to tell you there are people in your lives that are so desperate. Don't judge them. Love them. Love them anyway. Sometimes we get busy at the grocery store, and we forget. Emma went with me to Piggly Wiggly this past weekend, and she got so tired, and I just say, Emma, go get so-and-so. Because I ran into a lady, come find out, I didn't know her in a roundabout way, and she was telling me about she lost her husband, and she lost her daughter to cancer, and she needed something. And she needed me to give her some nourishment right then and there. I couldn't say, well, honey, if you'll come to church with me, I'll give you some. No. You got to give them nourishment right then, right there. And you don't have to be ostentatious to do it. Okay? You can whisper a prayer. You can whisper the name of Jesus and it happens. Because what did he say? And teach them, and also that I will be with them even to the end of the world. I don't care where you are, if you're teaching other people, I'm going to be with you. And if you've got the Holy Ghost, I'm going to anoint and give you the words to say right then and right there to that hungry soul. Right then. Often I find myself sitting in doctor's offices, waiting rooms. And y'all, I'm going to tell you, if there's ever a mission field, it's in. You got their attention. Okay? Because usually something's going on. Okay? What a time to be observant and intentional. Listen to their stories and share yours. Testify. If you have to, you don't have to speak in tongues and lay hands on them right then and there. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that, but I mean, you don't want to, I mean, you got to be wise. But you know what? Write a scripture verse out. Slip it over to them. You may never see them again. One of the things that I have been saying to people that I've encountered and that I pray with, I'm saying, honey, when we get up to heaven, will you tell me how it all turned out? Because I know I'll never see that person ever again. And y'all, when we get to heaven, oh, we're going to be able to hear their stories of how it all turned out, because you weren't afraid to pray for somebody. You weren't afraid to witness. You weren't afraid to share a scripture with somebody. What's hindering you from your purpose? What has caused your mission to go adrift? I taught that a couple Sundays ago in my youth and hyphen class. Yeah, I graduated up to that. They love me. They call me old. But anyway, what has caused your mission to go adrift? It's time to reactivate your mission. In closing, this is the last scriptures I'm going to bring up. But I want you to listen to this. Revelations 2. Okay? Revelations 2. John is writing to the church of Ephesus because the Lord has moved on him to write. And this is what the Lord tells him to write. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience. Y'all, these are faithful people. I want you to hear this, okay? These are people who are active in the kingdom. And how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And how thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not. And hast found them liars. You see, these people know the word of God. They know how to apply the word of God. They know how to try the spirits. Mm-hmm. Verse 3, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake has labored and hast not fainted. To sink in. The NIV says, you've persevered, you've endured hardships for my name, and you've not even grown weary. And you're still serving in the kingdom of God. These are people in the church that have seen a lot. They've been in the church for a long time, and they're not weary and well-doing. But verse 4 says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. We look like we got it all together, but we've lost our first love. These people acted and appeared to those around them as the perfect godly people, but they had a heart problem. They had a relationship problem with the Lord. And verse 5 says, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen. Something dropped into my mind when I was looking at this. This morning I was like, God, this is just, the evening is not like I want it, God. And it's 7 o'clock. I'm not a morning person. My eyes don't pop up. But at 7 o'clock this morning, my eyes popped up. And I thought, that's it. Do you remember when you fell in love for the first time with the love of your life? Your friends, they couldn't even talk to you very long without that love of your life's name coming up. You couldn't wait for the phone calls. Couldn't wait for date night when you would see them again. One of the sweetest things, you know how I knew Tyron Allen was it? Sorry, I don't mean to embarrass you, but when I sat down in his truck and I looked over and there was a little calendar and it had X's on it. I asked him, what is that? He said, oh, I've been working the days until our next day. That's how you do it. Yes. He counted the days and the moments until the wedding. Or what about when you became a parent? Oh, my. You thought you could love before, but man, you become a parent. Oh, my word. Y'all, it's just nothing like it, holding that baby. Every milestone, every messy face, we post those pictures or tell our friends those cute little words and things they are doing and things they are saying. And we are so gooey, gooey, gooey in love with that little human being. But by the time we have that second or that, heaven help us, that third baby, Whitney, we're just swiping and wiping and surviving. Oh, well. Oh, I forgot to post. Yeah, I forgot to do the baby book on that one, you know. April, it's so funny because April's little baby book is just full. Natalie's is like, is stuff just chunked in there? I don't know. I meant to get to it, but I never did. I don't know what happened there, you know. And it is Grandparents' Day. So, grandparents, oh, do you remember when that first grandbaby was born? Oh, my word. And you know what? They're almost sickening to be around, especially when grandparents bring out the pictures. Because you know, they're going to tell it. Oh, look, look, look. And you're just talking. But y'all, do you remember when you first fell in love with Jesus? The Bible says to remember. He wants us to go back to when we first fell in love with Him. Do you still feel the excitement? Do you still feel the wonder of it all? Are your prayers still filled with longing to know Him and seeking Him? Do you still lose track of time in prayer? Do you pray in the Spirit, or have your prayers become filled with all the right phrases, all the right parts? You've covered the list. Or when you rise from prayer, do you feel like you've been with the Prince of Peace, your Jehovah Jireh? Oh, and you feel like you have been with Him. Or do you feel good about yourself that you've checked off a box on your to-do list? And you come to church and say, oh, yes, I prayed all week. Do you still long for time with God? Do you hear Him whispering in your ear, come away with me? Do you still consider fasting as a time of get away with the Lord? Do you look at fasting as a date with the Lord? Yeah. That date during the week. Do you look at fasting as you know you've been with Jesus when you come out from it? Or have your fast days gone to the wayside and we can't even miss a meal? Do you hungrily read and study God's love letter to you? Yeah. I'm telling you, I've got every little letter that Tyron wrote me somewhere. I don't know where. All those little April wrote this cutest little thing in church. I've still got it. I still pull it out every so often and I read it. But let me ask you, God's word can't stay in a box. It's got to come out. You've got to read it. You've got to memorize it. You've got to pray those scriptures over and over. You've got to meditate on what He's saying. Are you abiding in Him and He is abiding in you? Or has your love for the word been exchanged for devotionals and scriptures that they include? We read a chapter or two and check it off on a bread chart. We don't love it like we once did. Remember when you couldn't wait for church time? You couldn't wait to be with the saints to worship. Remember when you diligently sought, who can I bring to church with me? What's God going to do tonight? Who is He going to fill with the Holy Ghost? Who can I tell? Oh, you enjoy the services now, but there's no burning desire or fire inside of you like it used to be. Sunday school teacher, how long has it been since you felt anointing while you were teaching? If you teach older kids, do the tears flow freely in Sunday school from the teacher and from the students? Do you remember when the Spirit of God took over your Sunday school class? Do you remember the class became an altar for students to repent and grow in God? Today I challenge you. Remember, therefore, from whence thou hast fallen. Somebody, hear me. Your mission has gone adrift. You've gotten so busy doing for the kingdom that the mission is adrift. The scripture says, and repent and do the first works. I'm calling you today. Get off the road of spiritual mindlessness that you're traveling on. It doesn't matter how you got off on this road, but rekindle the love that you once had. That's important. Fall in love with Jesus and His Word all over again. What matters to God is just start doing it and feeling what you did when you were so in love with Him. The rest of that verse says, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of the place, except thou repent. Pray until you lose yourself in Him. Pray until you feel the anointing again. Pray until and fast until and read the Word of God until. Get on your face. Whatever it takes, get desperate to get your love back. Reactivate. Mash the reactivate button today. Reactivate the mission. Reactivate the anointing of God in your life. Reactivate your hunger and your thirst for God. Reactivate your mission of witnessing and helping people come to know Jesus. Reactivate that love to watch people grow in Him. But He don't stop there. And if He left us there, that would be bad. Verse 7, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of paradise of God. And I'm reminded right there of the old song. And this right here is what hit me. When we get to heaven, brother, we'll be glad. Keep on the firing line. How we'll praise the Saviors for the call we had. Keep on the firing line. And this is the part I like. When we see the souls that we have helped to win, leading them to Jesus from the paths of sin. With the shout of welcome, we will all march in. So keep on the firing line. Oh, you must shout, be brave against all evil. Never run, nor even lie behind. If you would win for God and the right, just keep on the firing line. God will only use the soldier He can trust. Keep on the firing line. If you wear the crown, then bear the cross you must. Keep on the firing line. Life is but to labor for the Master dear. Help to banish evil and to spread good cheer. Great will be rewarded for your service here. So keep on the firing line. Oh, you must fight, be brave against all evil. Never run, nor even lie behind. Oh, if you would win for God and the right, just keep on the firing line.